We've all done it. Stock our fridge with leafy greens and good intentions, only to have our future self sacrifice quality nutrition for the convenience of takeout. Keep your body and mind nourished all day with a whole body meal shake from Ka'Chava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But the best part? It actually tastes delicious. With 6 indulgent flavors to choose from, it's easy to make a superfood packed shake. From chocolate, vanilla, and chai, to matcha, coconut acai, and strawberry, you've got endless ways to personalize your Ka'Chava. Whether you prefer it straight up or enjoy adding fruit, peanut butter, nut milk, or even iced coffee, with every 2 scoops of Ka'Chava, you're getting 85 plus superfoods, nutrients, and plant-based ingredients. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags with code NEWS at Ka'Chava.com. That's 30% off for a limited time at kachava.com, code NEWS.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another fun-filled episode of Beyond the Numbers. And boy, do we have some content to bring to you today. And as always, I am one of your hosts, Ben, and this is my partner, Will.
What up, everybody?
And today, we are going to start by discussing the World Series. And a personal fun feeling for me is this first game that Toronto took the dub on, sir. I'm very, very excited to have this discussion. So I'm going to let you talk about your Dodgers, sir, and what went really, really wrong, especially in that sixth inning.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and say that I am highly disappointed. The Blue Jays put up, honestly, not saying anything against Yesavaj, but he's their lowest ranking pitcher that they've used in the playoffs so far. So he's let up, 4 runs per game. That's what his ERA is, at least 4.26, I believe. And we still couldn't manage to get hits during those first innings. I mean, it was 2-2, but it should have never been that close to begin with. And I'm going to put all the blame, not all, but at least 80% of it on Snell.
As you should.
I knew it in my gut. As soon as they put Snell up there, he was going to give up at least 4 runs. I said it, and he gave up 5, by the way. It was a mistake to put Snell up there first. Snell is not that leadoff man. That was not supposed to be it. Yes, his ERA was only 0.86 going into this, but let's be clear that he was bound to do it. All year, Snell has had the exact same problem. He'll give up a whole bunch of runs. He'll have some great games, but he'll give up a whole bunch of runs and at least 1 or 2 of them going into those into different series. So I'm going to place at least 80% of this blame directly at Snell's feet, specifically because I knew he was going to do it. I knew it was going to happen. He has been playing way too well during the playoffs, and he has not played that well during the regular season. Can't convince me otherwise. So, yes, that's the exact reason why. Those are the reasons why we didn't get hits, and Snell did exactly what I thought he was going to do.
Snell was he was struggling. When it came down to it, the fourth inning, I'm sorry, is where things really changed. Varsho really he really kind of changed the way that game was going. He changed the trajectory with that, and
easily too. It was that was effortless. That entire sixth inning was effortless. And I can't even say that I love to see it, because they did it against my Dodgers, man. That is not okay. I don't like.
Well, to be
like
clear, this was the first home run that he had given up since August 29th. That's a decent amount of time. And what's even more interesting is the first one all season that he's given up to a lefty. That's crazy. And Varsho, with that being said, Varsho completely changed how game one was going to go. The Dodgers were up, and then all of a sudden, the Blue Jays are back in it. And then not too long later, it just spiraled. They plated 9 people in the 6th inning. Insanity. But that's the thing. The Blue Jays, and it showed against the Mariners. The Blue Jays are a very dominant team. They have the ability to score in excessive amounts. They can do it when they need to do it and when they don't need to do it. The Blue Jays.
I told you last episode, I was scared when I saw that it was going to be the Blue Jays up against us. I'm not going to lie to you. The Dodgers have a nice little fight up against them right now. And if anything, game one just proved exactly why. That our pitching has some issues too. It's pretty much one of our biggest problems going into some of our losses during the regular season. And oh my gosh, Snell did exactly what I thought. That irritates me so much. But we'll see how this next game's going to go, because I believe we play tonight. And we got Yamamoto. But it's Gausman.
Yamamoto. I think
it's ugly. This is the
World Series. This is for all the marbles, right? I don't think it matters necessarily right now. Like, the pitchers need to do great. They need to do great work. But I don't think we're going to see a pitcher-dominant game where any one of these two teams is going to struggle immensely. I mean, really, this is probably going to be one of the lowest-scoring games we've seen, at least from the Dodgers. And I mean, they put up 4 points. That's a very low number for the Dodgers, right? Like, that, they're not, their average is higher than that, I do believe. And
but that's usually about how we.
I'm not going to say necessarily that.
For the last few months, that's pretty much
right.
How we've been winning. It's been about 4 or 5 runs. We'll maybe get up to 7, you know, just. But it's usually been just like a dominant pitching performance, and then you get the runs that you just can't stop, you know. So right. I'm not saying that they didn't hit, that their averages are higher, but that's pretty much how we've been winning. And 4 runs would have beat, you know, a less dominant Blue Jays. But
for sure,
here nor there,
but
the Blue Jays dominated.
The Blue Jays dominated, and they're going to continue to try that. Because here's the thing. No matter who you put up as a pitcher against them, you're still getting the same. Bo is back. They walked him in that I believe it was the 6th inning. They did that where it all kind of started the spiral. But at the end of the day, the Blue Jays are not going to stop. This is the moment where they really have to continue to do what they just did. Regardless of what the Dodgers do on offense, the Blue Jays just need to be able to continue doing what they did. If they can hit double digits every game, the Dodgers are going to struggle to keep up with them. And that's crazy, because I figured it would be a lot higher from the Dodgers. Like, I anticipated a much higher offense.
I didn't. I'm going to tell you why I didn't. They haven't been offensively dominant this year. It's been literally their defense impeccable. Their pitching, it's left some stuff to be desired, but it's been effective. Their right. offense has not been there this year. Mookie Betts has not been there all year, pretty much. He's been playing, but he has not been effective all year. You got Freddie Freeman. Yes, he's been doing what Freddie does. But once again, downward. He's been playing down. Shohei, okay, you know Shohei's going to do what he does. We're looking at the greatest player to ever play the game right now. So, and then you got their backups. Tommy Edman started off the year great, but also went on a decline after his injury, I believe. Max Muncy, same thing. Started off dominant. he went quiet mid-year, and we haven't heard anything from Muncy, really, other than that I believe he had a grand slam going into those playoffs, into their last playoff series. But before that, we hadn't heard anything from Muncy. Muncy hasn't done anything. They haven't been offensively dominant. They've been able to stave off teams, and that's exactly what they're going to have to do to the Blue Jays. And if the Blue Jays want to win, which I don't want them to, once again, these are my Dodgers, and I hate that I have to talk about them like this. If they want to win, they're going to have to dominate exactly how they did last night. There's no letting up off the gas. As soon as you do, that's exactly where the Dodgers are going to start. They're going to put pressure on you.
That's fair. Well, here's one thing when I look at just looking at batting averages for these guys in the postseason, right? Because I mean, this incorporates everybody. But when I'm looking at the top batting averages right now, man, and I'm just gonna base it off of these two teams, Clement. He's up there. Guerrero's up there. That's two Blue Jays that are up there. You keep going down the list. You keep going. Loops, Barger, there's more Blue Jays. The Dodgers' highest batting average right now during the postseason is coming from Hernandez. It gets worse the further down it goes. You see a lot more higher-ranked Blue Jays offensively than you do Dodgers. So I get where you're coming from. And I mean, if anything, I think it kind of verifies what you say. Runs wise, again, top two right now, Guerrero, Springer, both Blue Jays. Clement's up there, Kirk, Varsho, Jimenez. Ohtani's the first one on the Dodgers. He's the highest one on the Dodgers at 8. These other guys are double digits. And this is runs so far in the postseason. And that's a scary thing because, you know, they got Bo back. That's just another weapon that the Blue Jays have added. The Dodgers don't have a lot to add right now, unfortunately, to their offense. They can't really do much. The pitching, however, there is a definite difference. The out of the two teams, Glasnow, Yamamoto, you know, both of them have a pretty solid ERA, whereas Gausman's the highest one for the Blue Jays at 2. I mean, you see a lot of Dodgers on here, not a lot of top 25 Blue Jays. Actually, there's only, I believe, one of them that's in the top 25. So the Dodgers should be able to execute. That's the thing. They should. But
the problem is... And this is not to say that they won't, though. This is not... This is just game one. Game one, they may not... They didn't have a rest period and all of that. You know, come back out. Well-tuned, we might see a completely different game. As a matter of fact, I know we're going to see a completely different game tonight. We got two of the best pitchers on each team. Yamamoto is our best pitcher, hands down, besides Kershaw. But, you know, Kershaw is, you know, he's older.
Yeah.
But if we're talking about my favorite pitcher, Yamamoto. So, and then Gausman is definitely their best pitcher. There's no doubt in that. He's the one that's been shutting down. He shuts down games every game. So, once again, we're going to say that this game can't be high scoring. There's no way. If it is, then both sides messed up on the pitching. That's the only way. But right now, Yamamoto, Kevin Gausman, I think they'll pitch some lights out innings, and then we'll have a couple of runs at the end of the game that defines the game. Maybe 3-2, 3-4, something like that.
Okay. I'd love to see it. I mean, that was a fun first game, I think, for the Blue Jays more than anything. The first half of the game was actually pretty fun to watch. It was very close. And then
I hate that I say that I love to see it, but I do. I love to see all of it, but they did it to my team.
Back to ball.
I love it. I love to see it, and I can't say it enough. The Blue Jays are an exciting watch. They are a great team to watch, And right now, the Dodgers are not that.
Well, I think the Dodgers are going to be, they were fun to watch too. Don't get me wrong. That game, just because it turned out like that doesn't mean that at any point that I sat there and I was like, oh yeah, it's 100% over for the Dodgers. Because the one thing about the Dodgers that we know is they have some powerful hitters. And all it's going to take is one moment, one good play to change even the course of a game, because this is the World Series. This isn't just anything. This is it. So regardless if the Blue Jays go up big or if the Dodgers wind up going up big, neither team is out of this. They could be down 20, which would be insane, but they could be down 20 and something could happen. It's the World Series. Anything can happen, and it's fun no matter who wins. It's going to be fun to watch these two teams just go back and forth. It's going to be a battle.
You are correct.
I hope it goes to seven.
You are exactly correct. I would love to see either one of these teams win at this point. I would love for it to be the Dodgers for the repeat, just as a Dodgers fan. But if the Blue Jays take it, I will not be upset, because the Blue Jays have earned their way straight to this.
Yep.
It's a gentleman's game at this point. Whoever takes it is going to be the one who has the most heart, whoever has the most drive, who's going to put some lights out innings up there. Who's going to do it?
Right. 100% agree with you, sir. Well,
moving on. I think we can get into some NBA if you would like to, sir.
I absolutely would. It has been very fun these first couple of games. We've had a lot of overtime games. We've had some double overtimes. There has been for some of these teams, there has been a clear, focus on offense. Some of these games have been super high scoring. And on one hand, I would love to say that I'm all for it. However, it's concerning when I see some of these teams that they're not necessarily doing good on defense.
offensive matches.
Yeah. And I love it, but at the same time, I'm like, I think back to the first, series set of games on opening night, and we seen double overtime with the Thunder and the Rockets. What a game. We see the Warriors beat the Lakers. I wouldn't really call that an upset, although Curry's looking a little old out there. But it was a good game.
Whoa. Curry's dropping 30 a game, sir.
He's just looking old. That's all I said. He's looking old, but
he's dropping 30, though. Let's put some respect on Curry's name.
I'm not denying that. I'm not disrespecting Curry. Like I said, I wouldn't even call it an upset, even though he's looking old out there. I would not even call it an upset. Curry is doing what Curry does. If anything, this is his year to get a ring and get this done.
See it. I can see Curry's future right now. If he keeps on going, if the Warriors keep going the way that they're going, yes, sir. Let's get Curry another ring. Curry deserves it. LeBron don't.
The Warriors are going to be a good team this year. The Bucks, they looking a little feisty this year. I kind of like the direction that the Suns are heading. And then the Warriors beat the Nuggets in overtime, a double overtime for the Thunder, who beat the Pacers. I hate it, but yet another double overtime game. And that speaks volumes to their defense. The Thunder are struggling on defense. They cannot contain. Two games, both of their first two games in the year were double overtime.
All I'm going to say is,
so
if you can't stop me from scoring, I believe I can outscore you. That's it. That's pretty much what that game was. They outscored.
It is.
So it doesn't matter what the defense
struggled
was like.
They struggled against a team that does not have Halliburton. It is what it is. These are the same teams that this
I
is the same
telling
teams
you that
I went
Halliburton
to
is not the game changer that you think he is. He is really
but
not.
He is.
I think
he
they're better
really
without
is.
Him. I swear, dude.
I think you're wrong. But again, this is a Thunder that is went 2-0 going after Thursday night, and they won both games in double overtime. Their first game, they went up against the Rockets. Honestly, the Rockets are more competitive, I think, than the Pacers are, for sure. If this was the Pacers,
they was going up against KD and all of them. KD with a rookie squad.
The Pacers did actually put
place.
Up more points. The Pacers put up more points than the Rockets did in the same situation with double overtime. I will say that. So theoretically, if that was the Pacers and Rockets matchup, Pacers take that based off score. Anyway, at the end of the day, they are 2-0, the Thunder. They are looking really good. The Bucks, they wound up going yesterday and beating the Raptors, going 2-0 on the year to start. Spurs won an overtime game, going up 2-0 in their year. The Mavs 0-2.
Big
I know
Wimby.
They're feeling not.
Wimby, he's going to be a game changer this year. They didn't got him out there training with all the greats. There's not going to be any stopping this boy. Come in the next couple of years, you're not going to be able to stop Wembanyama. Period. Point blank.
I'm with you.
He's one of the most linky players that we didn't got so far. That was not a letdown. He was going crazy last year. He just didn't have all the skill sets that he needed. He has those now. He's exposing that. Love to see.
Okay. Yeah. I agree. That's one of the teams that I like to watch. I got the NBA League Pass for a reason, and the Bucks are one of those reasons. And not in excluding, because I mean I can watch. And for anyone who doesn't know, you can if you live around here in this area, you can watch on FanDuel. You can get the Pacers game. So I don't have to have it for the Pacers, but doesn't change the fact that I still watch my Pacers. But the Bucks are one of the teams that I love to watch. Last night, the Celtics, they dropped their second game, going 0-2 on the year, to the Knicks, who are sitting at 2-0. Now, I think, and this is super early, so it's irrelevant in the long run of the season, but it's indicative of what could be coming. I think that the Celtics are going to have a rough year. Do you agree?
Yeah, the Celtics are missing key pieces that they had last year. So they're definitely not going to be thriving this year. Jaylen Brown can only do so much. The players like Derek White and Peyton Pritchard, they were only good because there were more players that they had to focus on. So you could count on them to do the extra stuff that Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Kristaps Porzingis couldn't. You see what I'm saying? So
right
now that you have Peyton Pritchard in a starting position, you have Derek White, who is now a key focus, whereas he could be out on the branch, put a three-pointer all open because everybody's focused on Jason Tatum and where's Jaylen Brown. You see what I'm saying? So
right,
there's no holes for the Celtics right now. And that's how they thrived last year. I mean, they thrived on the teams being mismatched. Jason Tatum's not coming back. Jaylen Brown is only one man, and they don't have a big man now. They don't have a good big man, at least not one like Kristaps Porzingis. So wherever they fall at on this season, it's mainly because they don't have the pieces that they had last year.
One of the things that I look at when I look at this particular game, and the Knicks are they're a very solid team, I think. But going into halftime, the Knicks were leading 64-44. They had a 12-0 run at the end of the second quarter. Ananobi had 10 points just in the second quarter, which is the most by any so far. Granted, it's only a couple of games, but so far the most by any Knicks player in a quarter this season. I mean, and then if I look at the end of it, right, like you look at the end of the game, it obviously they won by, you know, a decent margin, only 10 points, but still, they defeated them by 10. They outscored them by 22 on the boards, 65-43. That means something. That means they can get in there, they can get in the paint, they can score. They got 21 offensive rebounds. I mean, Jalen Brunson, he led all of them with 31 points. Towns had 26 with 13 rebounds. I mean, the Celtics were shooting 66.7% from the line. They weren't doing well at free throws. I mean, Sam Hauser, he had 18 points. He was 6 for 10 from deep. But I don't see anything here that, like you said, there's nothing that's going to tell me that looking at this game that I would be intimidated by the Celtics this year. There's something wrong. The Knicks, however, I think they might have themselves a good year if they stay healthy. But
the Knicks should have had a good year last year. Which I'm not going to say that they didn't have, you know, an okay one. But I'm going to say that last year they had the exact same pieces that they have this year. And, you know, they were competitive, to say the least. But Jalen Brunson took a little dive last year. Karl Anthony Towns did the exact same thing. You couldn't count on them to do pretty much anything. And those are their star players. Those are their key players right now. Michael Bridges, he turned up last year, but right now he's definitely not doing what he did last year. So I don't the Knicks have what it takes to be competitive with other teams right now, but we'll have to see deeper into the season how all of this goes, because last year, they, for some odd reason, everybody stopped doing what they were supposed to.
Believe you cut out there, sir.
Did I?
Yes.
What was the last thing you heard?
You were saying something, and I'll be honest, I really don't know exactly what it was. But I know we were talking about the Knicks and their season, how it should have been different last year. And
well, you know, either way, what I'm saying is we're going to have to keep a close eye on how the Knicks perform deeper into the year. Because last year, that's exactly what they all took a break on offense and defense. Right. And it's why they started taking losses to teams that they definitely shouldn't have lost. So they got all the pieces. Well, they got all the potential. We'll see what they do.
I want to bring up, I was looking at some of the, you know, the stats for players, because right now it's early. So when we look at team performances, we're not going to see, we're going to get a few ideas on how some things are going to look, but really it's the player performances early. That's going to show us a little bit, I think. And Denver has only played one game. They lost their game, but Aaron Gordon in one game is still, as of right now, currently the league leader in points at 50 points in one game, sir.
That boy snapped. And I don't even know, who is Aaron Gordon? Okay. Like, we've seen this man on multiple different teams, and he just now starting to drop 50.
I mean,
nobody's expecting Aaron Gordon to drop 50 points. I don't care what your bet sheet says. You didn't have Aaron Gordon for 50.
No, nobody does. If they did, then kudos to them for,
predicting the future. Like, somebody needs to go test that man's brain, because he clearly has that so Raven vision. There's no way that you said Aaron Gordon 50 points tonight. He's doing it against the Warriors. Come on now.
I mean, he was draining threes that he looked like Steph Curry. I'm not gonna lie, he actually looked like the better version of Steph Curry.
That had 42.
Well, in three games, Steph Curry has only put up 33.3 points, sir.
Steph Curry had 42 in that game, but Aaron Gordon had 50. That's all I'm going to say. He finished his night with 42 points with Aaron Gordon's.
I don't know. I just look. I think that when you look at, I don't know. I mean, it's obviously it's super early, but a guy like Gordon, if he can keep it going, hey, I mean, shout out to him. Like,
shout out to him. I love to see it, but that is crazy work. However, if you have Aaron Gordon for 50 points, hit me up because we need to discuss some parlays.
Yeah, I mean, at 33.3 points per game, Stephen Curry is looking all right, but in one game, Aaron Gordon has 50. So, granted, 50 points per game. I don't know. I just liked how he performed. I mean, at the end of the day, it's kind of, you know, Luka Doncic is doing really well. I mean, he's got 46 points per game average. I mean, rebounds per game, 11.5. Assists, 8.5. I mean, in two games, he's doing really well. For the Lakers to be 1-1 is actually kind of crazy to me. But
Luka's doing all right. It's just
Luka's going to be the reason. Yeah, I mean, he's going to be the reason they do anything. They beat the Timberwolves last night, 120 to 110. I mean, it is what it is, but, you know, hey, I shout out to them. The Warriors, however, last night kind of got shut out a little. Well, not shut out, I'm sorry. They got beat pretty solid. Let's put it that way.
Yeah,
139 to 119.
That was so unexpected to me. I woke up to a confused look. Curry had 35, but the rest of the team did buckets. Like, you can't. Jimmy Butler only dropping 14 points. You got Draymond Green. He did exactly what he always does. Love to see Draymond Green play. But everybody else, you know, they just didn't put it. The best foot wasn't forward. And I don't see how the Trailblazers have no business beating them by 20. None whatsoever. And there's no real recourse for that. You go into a game where there's a clear underdog, where your star player drops 30, and you still lose to the more defective team. And it's not even it's not even like they did anything spectacular for themselves. It was just everybody scored. Everybody did their part. It wasn't the same on the Lakers. You could tell by the stat sheet that everybody's foot was not on the gas.
I mean, at the end of the day, you look at this game, compare the teams side by side, right? Honestly, there wasn't many categories that Portland struggled with. They had a much better field goal percentage on several more attempts, actually 13 more field goal attempts, and they hit 50 of 93. So that's over 50%, whereas Golden State barely made it to 40, just shy of 44%. They were 35 of 80. We talk about three-pointers. Now, they both put up 16 each. The difference was Portland took four less. So that, while the percentages are a little bit obviously different, like 5% difference, it boils down to the fact that Portland was more effective when it mattered. Free throws, Golden State just couldn't quite get it. They were 33 of 39. That's not a good thing for Portland. They shouldn't be giving Golden State that many opportunities. But the fact that, you know, they were only shooting 84% at the line compared to Portland's 92. It's a problem. Portland had way more assists on fast break points. Golden State struggled. They had 16, whereas Portland had 30. Rebounds, Portland lost that by three. They lost that game by three there. Golden State put up 41, whereas Portland only got 38. Portland had one more steal. Really, in the rebounding game, the Warriors were a little bit better in every way, but they just couldn't get the edge. And in the end, the fact that they lost by 20 is just problematic. It's not. It just, yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah, I don't really have any words to explain it, if I'm being honest. There's no, because there's really no excuse for it.
I agree.
If you're not going to put your best foot forward, why be there? You know? But right. Neither here nor there. There's no down talking for the Warriors right now because I think they're performing.
Right. It's only, that was only their third game. You know, 2-1 after three isn't bad. I mean, they have today off, right? There's not a lot of games that are happening today. This Saturday, the 25th of October, it's the Pacers and the Grizzlies, the Bulls and the Magic, Thunder and Hawks. Now, Thunder should win this game. Should they drop this game or should it go into an overtime or double overtime again? I would become a little bit concerned about the Thunder, like, early. Not long-term, but early. Like, they need to figure out their defense. Then you got the Hornets and the 76ers, which I don't even know who I would pick here, honestly. And then you got the Suns and the Nuggets to wrap it up at the 9 o'clock game. Honestly, the Suns at 1-1, I like them, but I think the Nuggets should realistically get themselves a win here and get up on the win column.
Yeah, so they're not all the way complete. Anticipate. So I'd say that you're right about the Suns.
So if I'm looking at tonight, the key games, probably important out of all of them, the important games, the Nuggets, it's important for them to get themselves that win. Everybody, the Pacers, they need to get themselves a win tonight, but everybody else has at least a win on the column. Even though some of them have a loss, some of them, have only played one game, whatever. For these guys, the key games is going to be the Pacers and the Grizzlies and the Suns and the Nuggets. The rest of them, worst case, they're getting their first loss or they're getting another win, whatever it may be. But for those two games, the Pacers are looking to get their first one and the Nuggets are looking to get their first one. It's game two for both of them. So it's kind of imperative to make sure you don't start sliding quickly.
Real quick, what team do you think is going to have an impact that's, maybe lower on the totem pole this year? Like, nobody's really talking about them. What team do you got like that?
Well, and teams that aren't really drawing a lot of attention right now that I think are going to have a good year or make an impact, it's tough because there are a few that I would say could possibly be in that category. However, I guess if I was to pick a team right now, possibly Memphis. They might be one of those teams that could have a quiet impact early on. The Trailblazers, possibly. Miami, I don't think a lot of people are going to talk about Miami yet, but I think they're going to have another. Miami has regularly decent years. They're just a team that can't get to the championship. They can't make it to the playoffs, but they could have an impact. Even the Kings might have a decent year this year as long as they figure something out. Make sure they're producing points. As a team, they're not fully put together yet, but I do like them. I think they could have an impact. I mean, you can't ever forget about Russell Westbrook. Those are some of the teams that I think might have some impact. The Kings, I think, might be that team though. Sabonis, Westbrook, maybe even Isaac Jones a little bit.
I got me personally. I like the Raptors this year.
Okay.
I think the Raptors.
I could see that.
I think the Raptors got something to them. I think they had something to them last year, too. It's just, they were a young team. Still trying to figure some stuff out. But this year, they've had some, pretty interesting games, to say the least. So, if we're going to talk about like underdog teams that are going to have, like, they're going to give some team, they're going to give teams some problems. Right now they're sitting, pretty good at 1-1, and there's really no stopping them unless you can, you know, calm down their offense.
So right
now I love to watch the Raptors play.
I'm with you. I like the Kings just because I'm trying to think. Yeah, Sacramento. I like Sacramento because, again, you got DeRozan. He's going to do really well this year, I think. Schroeder, Sabonis. I like Monk a little bit for some production. Kent, again, Clifford, LaVine, Russell Westbrook's minutes are kind of low right now, but it's early. I mean, they have a really good team, I think, and they might be able to do something this year. So the Raptors, I agree with, and I also think that we could possibly see this being a good year for Sacramento, just based off of the fact that they have a roster that is quietly a good roster. I really think they are. The Raptors, I like them because I think that they are a team that's going to be also kind of a quietly good roster. But they're one of those that we're going to have to kind of wait and see who really steps up and steps out, because right now, like, it is a little
right now
little,
who I think is going to step out is Brandon Ingram. He was a game changer on the Pelicans. He just wasn't the Pelicans needed more than him. I think he could be what the Raptors needed to push them just that little tad bit further that they needed last year. So
I think it'll be him or RJ Barrett. RJ Barrett, I think, might be the other guy. Can't sleep on Scotty Barnes. Scotty Barnes is doing pretty well. His points are just a little behind him. Well,
Emmanuel Quickly.
Quickly's,
he does what he's supposed to do.
He does. I mean, I can't say this dude's last name, but Sandro Mamukelashvili, I'm sure he'll never hear this, but if he does, I'm sorry if I said it wrong. But, I mean, he's another one. He's not got a lot of minutes and a lot of points, but he is kind of a decent off-the-bench guy. So we'll see how it goes for him. But, I mean, he could be another key contributor in the end.
I agree. All right, we need to move on because we only got a few more minutes left in this episode. And I need to say something about the Vikings. Oh, my gosh.
Do you understand,
sir, that they literally scored one touchdown in that game and it was all by luck? They made it into the red zone a total of two times, and one of those times, every bit of luck that could have went the Vikings' way, did. That we're talking.
And I am here for it.
Oh no, I'm not. I hate it. I hate it so much. Why? Why? You got Carson Wentz out there with the robotic arm, the whole RoboCop arm, and he's still not doing anything. He can't throw the ball because he's hurt. Okay, why not just put in a third string? I get it. JJ's hurt. He's hurt. Wentz is hurt. Put in the third string. I can guarantee it would have went better. Like, why keep that man out there? And he's over every throw that he throws. He's shaking his arm like, can't do it. I can't do it. Like, bro, he's over there on the sidelines in tears. And we're talking about...
Or laughing.
Like, oh my gosh, I can't. There's no way that the Vikings thought that was the way to go. I'd have pulled Wentz out in the first half. Period, point blank.
Well,
they did not make it in the red zone, sir. We're talking about they got their field goal. They got their first field goal at 8 minutes and 55 seconds into the second half. I mean, into the second quarter. And then didn't do anything else until, luckily, someone caught that interception. And then they two flags and the luckiest pass ever, we get into the end zone. That's how we get into the end zone. Because before that, they had multiple chances to get in there. And then let's not even talk about the Lions, because this was really a game of two offensive lines. Two lines that looked completely different from each other. The Chargers, move, get out my way. We need to get down this field. The Vikings, hey, that guy, he already has a broken arm. You want to break the other one? You want to break the other one? That's exactly how it felt. Because why is he running around? Why is he having to chase? Sorry, go ahead, take it over. Because I will keep going for the next 30 minutes.
Let me just say this. The Vikings under Carson Wentz are really not going to be any better than when they get J.J. McCarthy back. The Vikings have a very, very... they have a problem, and that is they don't know what direction they're heading. So the last couple years, right, under Kirk Cousins and Sam Darnold, they've had some outstanding years. But every time that they move along, they didn't stick with Kirk Cousins after a phenomenal run. And when Sam Darnold had a phenomenal run, they did not stick with what was working. So they went to their, I get it, they drafted McCarthy. You know, they were like, hey, this is our future. He gets hurt preseason year one, never starts an official game. Comes out, starts what, two games, gets injured again in year two. Their backup is Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz comes out there and you would think, and at first it looked like he was gonna. Carson Wentz is a good quarterback, but he's a good quarterback on a team that is not, they're not fully functional. Aaron Jones tends to get hurt a lot, so the rushing game suffers. They are not a running team at this point, no matter what they try to do. Their offensive line is not good. They're struggling. And while they have a good receiving core, they really just don't seem to know what general direction they're going with it. You know, you got Addison out here trying to make plays. You got Jefferson trying to make plays, but the play calling just seems to not be lining up right. There's something with the coaching staff in Minnesota that they need to figure out, and they need to figure it out fast. So this game was more about, I think, the Chargers getting some redemption for themselves more than anything. And I'm here for it. I like it. The Chargers needed a win against a team that coming into this game was still one of the somewhat more competitive teams. And at the end of the day, I watched this game. This game was just a constant drive. The Chargers managed the time very well. They maintained possession of the ball. And that's one of the biggest things, is that they were forcing Minnesota to punt. And then when they get the ball, they're taking advantage of it. Herbert had a really good game. That one interception, okay, it is what it is. He got sacked twice, okay. But he threw three touchdowns, only 227 yards, but he was 18 to 25. You know, the rushing game, Vidal had 23 for 117 and a tutty. Herbert ran 7 for 62. I mean, these dudes did exactly what they needed to do. The receiving core, Ladd McConkey, let me just say, Ladd McConkey had himself a game. Gadsden had himself a game. Both of them got a touchdown. Keenan Allen, he had himself an all right game. He was a reliable target, especially early on. Makes some big catches. The reality of it is while he didn't have a lot of people to throw to, hence his lower yardage, he made it work. Three times he found the end zone through the air. They forced a fumble. They had an interception on defense as well. Their defense was just nasty. They were getting after him. They had five sacks against the Vikings. You know, they did not punt a single time. They I mean, Dicker went 3 of 4 for field goals, 4 of 4 in extra points. I mean, they did exactly what they needed to do to get this game won, and they did it so well. Just they found a running game that they've been needing to find. They found a receiving game with McConkey. Again, not knocking Gadsden and Allen, but McConkey was by far the biggest target. He got 6 of 10. Got targeted 10 times, caught 6 of, got himself a touchdown. So Carson Wentz, just mediocrity. The injury to his non-throwing arm should not be as big of a deal. And if it is, you shouldn't be starting him. However, who are they going to put in that's going to do any better?
Sir, I don't care who it would have been. You don't put an injured man out on the field. He was literally, regardless if it was on his throwing arm or not, sir, that you could tell he was struggling throwing the ball, sir. The entire game. He got hurt.
He was.
He got hurt multiple times during the game where he was just like, oh, I can't do this. But he still got up and started throwing the ball again. Like, bro, put in your backup. I get it. He may not be the best of the best, but he could have probably did better than Carson Wentz. It's like y'all didn't even care if y'all got the win or not. Y'all didn't care if what y'all looked like was abysmal. But it did. Like, all of that looked horrible. Every last bit of it. There was no point of that game where I was like, okay, the Vikings got a chance. No, they don't. They looked outmatched, outplayed, and downright tired. Like, they need to fix something. I don't know what it is, or I don't care what they try to fix. They just need to fix it.
Well, I hope they don't. As a Packers fan, and just for our sake, I hope they don't. I hope they do terrible. They do not fix it. I hope J.J. McCarthy comes back and he is unable to do anything. I don't wish injuries, but I do wish failure. I'm here for that. I am all for it. So the Chargers, shout out to them for getting a much needed dub for themselves. And thank you to them again for beating one of our divisional rivals. From a Green Bay fan, thank you, Chargers. So I want to talk about a couple other games real quick for Sunday.
I actually want to go ahead and do a speed round with you, too, to finish out the episode. So
okay,
go ahead and address your game, sir, and I'm going to get set up for it.
Okay. Couple of quick ones. First and foremost, I want to talk about Dallas and Denver. It's going to be a really crucial game for Dallas. They need this win. However, Denver is at 5-2 on the year, which is mind-boggling because they've won games just purely. I think they do it purely out of spite. I don't even think they do it because, like, they win games in, like, terrible fashion. They're not blowing out teams. They're barely getting wins. It took 33 points in the fourth quarter for them to get their last dub. Like, I'm here for it because I think they do it just to spite teams. Like, this is not a team that I think wins a Super Bowl. I think they're one and done in the playoffs. But during the regular season, they're just going to beat teams just to beat them because they don't – I feel like that's where Denver's at right now. Like, they're just – they're not a Super Bowl caliber team by any stretch, but yet, oh, well, you know what? We're just going to go ahead and beat them. And then they beat them by a couple of points. Like, you know, you don't ever take an over for this team because it's going to be low scoring most of the time. And if it just, I don't know, wild, just wild to me. But this is a big game for Dallas. They need to get this win because they're sitting at 3-3-1. They can't really afford to take any more losses. They do. They're going to start sliding. However, Dallas is a much better team right now. They have CeeDee Lamb back. Everybody's clicking. Dak looks like an automatic W out there. Even if they're losing, he looks like he's throwing dubs. He throws touchdowns like crazy. He's not turning the ball over a lot. He can move a little bit. And, you know, Javonte Williams, mind-boggling again how he is performing, but he is. So that's a big game. Another big game is going to be the Buffalo-Carolina game. I never would have thought that I would have said this, but Buffalo and Carolina is actually looking to be a phenomenal matchup.
I agree. But I think that the Panthers are going to get dominated, though. I think that this is the game that Josh Allen and James Cook, they are going to start showing out. Me personally.
I want to agree with you, but the Panthers, just like the Broncos, they're just annoyingly problematic about getting wins that it makes no sense. They're not a Super Bowl caliber team, but yet they're winning games. They're 4-3. The Buffalo's 4-2. I'm not saying that I would realistically would normal in any normal situation, any normal year. Yeah, the Bills are going to have a phenomenal bounce back game here. They're going to get it figured out, and they're going to send the Panthers packing. However, I don't know. I don't think it's going to go as well as I would like to think it will. I mean, if I'm being entirely honest, this is a problem. This is a tough game. The Panthers' defense has certainly started to shape up, and their rushing game is absolutely one of the best in the league right now. So the Bills are going to have to work on it. The only other game I really wanted to really truly touch on is going to be the Packers and the Steelers game. Both teams pretty much are neck and neck in the league right now. It's a big game for Aaron Rodgers. This is that game. I feel like it's a revenge game. I feel like it's a big game, even though he says it's not. And it's he's playing for the team that and going up against the team that he used to play for that beat the team that he's now with in the Super Bowl years ago. Yes, been forever ago. But again, we're talking about a situation where this game has history with it. There is a lot that comes into this game where I think Pittsburgh, I want them to lose so badly. I want Aaron Rodgers I want him to have a phenomenal game, but I want them to lose. I need them to lose. Green Bay needs this W. It's an important win for us. It establishes us against a team that is doing very well this year. And it kind of establishes that the era with Rodgers is over. His time with the Jets, not so much, but this game right here, I think, is going to be the defining Aaron Rodgers against the Green Bay Packers game. And Aaron Rodgers has already said that he plans on retiring out with the Packers. So inevitably, when that time comes, he's going to come back. I guess he's going to retire with us, sign the contract for one day type thing and retire. Good for him. Kudos. I'll be glad to have him up on our wall. But this game is a big deal in so many ways. So I'm very, very excited for this game. Sunday Night Football, I plan on watching this game. I plan on staying up for it. I don't care which way it goes. I'm watching this game because I want to see what is going to be, in my mind, a classic. So that's all I've got.
Will be soon.
Okay. Well, that's all I've got, sir. I'm curious about your speed round here, so let's get into it. What you got for me, and then we can wrap it up.
Today, we're going to do a where there's a will, there's a way, but we're going to follow Ben, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to go through all these games, and I want you to call them just off the top of your head, however you feel, and I'm going to parlay them and tell you what the payout will be. All right?
Are we just talking money lines?
Just money lines.
All right. Yes, sir. Let's do it.
All right, starting off with the Dolphins and the Falcons.
Falcons.
All right. Bears and the Ravens.
Ravens.
We got the Bills and the Panthers.
Bills.
We got the Jets and the Bengals.
Bengals. Ooh.
Yeah.
No.
You starting to think about it, ain't you?
Jets.
All right. We got the 49ers and the Texans.
Oh, man. Whew. I'm going to have to go with the 49ers.
All right. We got the Giants and the Eagles.
Woo! Woo! Okay. Shout out to my boy Cam Scatter. Boo, it's Halloween season. Boo hoo. And I'm taking the Giants.
All right. We got the Browns and the Patriots.
Patriots.
We got the Bucks and the Saints.
Bucks.
We got the Broncos and the Cowboys.
Oh, sir, we are taking the Cowboys.
We got the Texans and the Colts.
Colts.
We got the Packers and the Steelers.
That's a tough one, but I think I'm gonna take the the Packers.
All right. And last but not least, we're gonna do Monday Night Football in this one as well. We got the Commanders and the Chiefs.
I am taking the Chiefs in a big fashion. So there we go.
Well, since you said in a big fashion, we're gonna take the Chiefs spread on the last one. 12 games. Starting on Sunday, and the payout, if you want to put 5 or 10, payout for 5 would be $4,800, sir.
Okay.
Payout for 10 would be $9,600. I'm going to go ahead and throw my 5 on this. I don't know about you guys, but we're following Ben. Where there's a Ben, there's a way. All right. But, sir, do you have anything else?
No, sir, I do not. It's been fun. We've hit the hour mark, so I think we are at that point where I'm good. Do you have anything else for us?
Not at all, sir. We are excited to bring you some big news here soon. But until then, peace.